Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The types of movement that are permissible in Salat, or let me rephrase that, the types of movement in Salat are as follows. One, movement that is forbidden, such as movement that is considered to be a lot without any reason. And you've seen so many such movements. Next to my house, there lives a young chap in his early 30s, maybe late 20s. One Fajr prayer, after the Fajr, I had to talk to him. Because from Allahu Akbar till Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he's been doing this as if he's putting makeup, and throughout the whole prayer, not in just recitation, even with ruku', even in raising his head from ruku', he's doing this. And after prayer, I started looking and staring at him. Is there anything wrong? And the guy looked at me, he smiled, and I said, Akhi, it's my duty to tell you, your prayer is invalid. You have to go and pray again, because the movement that you have done nullifies your prayer. It is uncalled for. There is no reason for it. So scholars say any movement that is considered a lot and without any legitimate reason, this nullifies your prayer. So conditions, a lot and uncalled for, no legitimate reason. The second type of movement is the movement that is not a lot, but there is no legitimate reason for it. So they say that this is makruh, this is unrecommended. For example, people end their prayer, while they're praying they do, and they go, they're watching the time, they're looking at the time. So this is little, but there is no reason for it. So this is makruh. It doesn't nullify their prayer. A friend, a dear friend of mine, was praying next to me once, and his mobile rang. So he took his mobile from his pocket while in prayer, did this, and he was short vision, so he had to do this in prayer. He's next to me. And then he hung up. And then he deleted, I think, something and put it in his back pocket again. This is definitely some of the things that are not recommended, if not making your prayer invalid. But this is little, without a reason, so it's makruh. The third type of movement that is little movement, but for a reason. And this is permissible. For example, and sometimes it can be recommended, huh? I'm in prayer and I get this itching in my shoulder. Now, if I don't itch it, it's gonna remain with me until I finish my four rak'ahs, which will not make me have any khushu' in my salah. Because I have the urge to itch it, I cannot. So the scholars say, no, it's highly recommended that you itch it, so that it would leave the rest of your prayer valid and possible for you to have khushu', rather than fighting it without any legitimate cause. Likewise, if someone in prayer needs to fix, like we Saudis have this, a lot of the time when you raise your head, you have to fix it like this. So this is a minor movement, and it is called for because otherwise it will occupy your whole prayer. One say, why do you originally wear it when you pray? Because this is the customs of the people, and you have to do this in order to pray. Not that it is related to the validity of your prayer, but it is for the people. You have to, as they say, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. I cannot go and deliver Jum'ah khutbah wearing Afghani dress, Afghani clothes. Why? Because this is not the way that the people dress. So the people expect people like them to give them khutbah al-Jum'ah, so you have to be dressed like them in a proper way, as long as it is, inshallah, permissible. The fourth type of movement is legitimate movement, such as if I'm in the row and in front of me there's a gap, is it permissible to walk? Yes, it is permissible and recommended. If a man fainted in front of me, he's going about to fall, should I leave space for him so that he would slam on the floor and fall and maybe break his head, or should I hold him? You have to hold him. This movement is for something that is legitimate. So any movement, whether it is for the sake of prayer, like moving forward to fill a gap, or for protecting yourself, a scorpion, a snake is coming to attack you, what to do? Say, astaghfirullah, 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 please go, please go, please go. No, you have to kill it. The Prophet told us, even if it comes to you in prayer, kill it. And this movement is not affecting your prayer. On the contrary, it is rewardable. Because you're doing it for the sake of prayer, and inshallah, this yani would do the job. We open the floor for questions. Faisal.
In this subcontinent, we have a special salah known as Salatul Tasbih, which is prayed during the nights of Laylatul Qadr, wherein the recitations are also very different. You have specific number of some kalimat. Is it proven from Sunnah?
Salatul Tasbih is an issue of dispute among scholars. Sheikh Al-Albani has authenticated the hadith, as well as Sheikh Al-Arnaut. May Allah have mercy on both of their souls. But Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Al-Qayyim, ibn Taymiyyah, and also Sheikh ibn Baz ibn Uthaymeen and all the nine yards, they all consider it to be a fabricated hadith, along with Imam Ahmad. And by the way, Salatul Tasbih was not reported neither by Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, nor Imam Shafi'i. The only one who ever spoke about it was Imam Ahmad. He's the last of the Imams. And he said that this is fabricated. We do not know any origin of it. And the format of the prayer is weird, is strange. Nothing is like it. In the standing position, after reciting the surah, you say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allah Akbar, I think 15 times. And then you do that again in your ruku', and you do it when you say, Sami'Allahu liman hamidah, and you do it when you're sujood, and you do it between the two sajdas. And this format is similar to nothing in Islam. And that is why the scholars say, if Imam Ahmad did not know about it, and all the three Imams did not report it, and none of the companions had ever done it, and we have only one hadith, which is hadith of Al-Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him. When the Prophet said, Ya Abbas, Ya, O uncle of the Prophet, should I tell you, should I give you? And he told him this hadith, and he taught him this format. So the scholars say that it is not an authentic hadith, besides that the reward of doing it once in a lifetime, or once every year, or once every month, or once every week, or once every day, is the same. So the scholars say that this is not like any other form of worship, and that is why it's fabricated. Kaleem.
Sheikh, if there is a scenario that we are praying at home, in the hall, the main hall, and someone is ringing the door, ringing the bell at the door, can we move, and is this movement permissible to open the door and get back to the salah?
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once opened the door for Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, while he was praying. So some scholars say that this is permissible. Others say that this is only permissible in voluntary prayers. In mandatory or fard prayer, it's not permissible. And they failed to give the distinction. So the majority say that whatever is applicable in voluntary, it's applicable in mandatory prayers. And therefore, it is permissible, inshallah, for you when praying to turn off the air condition, to turn on the fan. This movement is minor. The Prophet, as you recall, used to pray and mount the minbar and go down to prostrate. And this is a movement. And he used to do this, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Arshi.
Sheikh, is it not true that the Sahabas, when they went to give the awa to different countries, they went with their own culture and their own, the way they dress, and it wasn't be a Roman in Rome, but be the way you are? And also, vice versa, if supposing Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if he came from Persia to Arabia, didn't he dress like the Arabs while he was there, or like try to imitate Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
This is an issue that needs to be widely discussed, because it depends on the benefits. If I go to a country that I know that they are hostile to the Arabs or to the Muslims, and I wear my normal clothes and I try to give da'wah, this might not be the best idea. It might be better to blend in and give da'wah in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, but by wearing things that are acceptable to them, while not doing something haram. However, the companions, when they traveled for da'wah, bear in mind that the Arabs all used to travel like this. And the majority of the people's dresses and costumes were almost similar. That is why the Arabs in Arabia, the Prophet ﷺ used to wear clothes from Yemen. And he used to get clothes from Rome, from the Byzantians, and etc. So the clothes were there that were generally used, not specifically for a certain people. For me, it is forbidden to wear a particular clothes that only worn by the disbelievers. So for example, if I wear a Texan hat, this is haram, because no one wears this except the disbelievers, generally speaking. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.